Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins. I'm the partner who heads up the abuse team at Hugh James, and I'm joined again by my colleague, Danny Vincent. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Alan.
Podcast listeners, this week we are going to be discussing sexual abuse in the workplace, which is very much a subject in the news at the moment for all the wrong reasons. But even though it is in the news for the wrong reasons, it is nevertheless extremely important to discuss, because I think people still do not understand their rights and the fact that they are entitled not to be sexually abused, full stop, of course, but also not to be harassed in the workplace, whether it's by their colleagues, their workmates, their bosses, or whoever. So you thought, Danny, it would be useful to talk about sexual abuse in the workplace podcast. So me having given that little intro, over to you.
Yeah, so we've obviously seen a lot more in the media recently over the last couple of years. As you've said, Alan, the Me Too movement has, you know, it really exploded and people are talking about it a lot more. We've had very, very famous cases such as Harvey Weinstein. You know, there were lots and lots of famous actresses, models, assistants that came forward in that case. From there, lots and lots have come out in the media, in different industries. And the reason I wanted to talk about it today, because it's not defined to a specific industry or a particular sex. And I think people don't understand, as you say, what harassment in the workplace is. And you know, the liability, not just to the person who's creating that, you know, that upset or that concern, but also to the employers.
Yes, I think employers quite often don't actually understand what their obligations are when it comes to these issues, and don't necessarily understand that they have to have procedures in place and training in place to ensure that employees understand what their behaviour has to be in the workplace, to understand what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable. This is my 30-something year in the law, and, you know, 2020 is a very different environment in the workplace for all sorts of reasons, of course, but leaving coronavirus to one side, it is a very different workplace to the one I experienced when I first started out in work, when banter, which we would consider extremely inappropriate today and wrong, was tolerated. It seemed to be acceptable, and people used to cringe things that used to get said. I can remember thinking, I wouldn't like that said to me, and that kind of thing, but it was sort of tolerated. I think people just thought it was the way it was. And, you know, I can also think, well, you know, banter often went quite a lot further than just banter, and it was unacceptable then, but it just seems to have been tolerated, and you get sort of conditioned to it because, you know, as you're a young person starting out in work, you assume that this is the way it is and this is how people behave, even though, you know, your antennae tells you that I'm not sure that this is right. Anyway, that's me, the dinosaur, sort of going back to when I started out, and I can think of some pretty horrendous incidents at Christmas parties, not necessarily where I work, but, you know, other in chambers, Christmas parties and so on. All sorts of things happened that shouldn't have happened. And you just, you know, thinking back, you just think, screw. Anyway, tell us a little bit about how things are supposed to be in 2020, because we've had the Equality Act in force now for best part of a decade. So enlighten us as to what the Equality Act is all about, what it means and how things should be, and when things are not what they should be, what people can do about it.
Okay, well, exactly as you said, Alan, I looked into this because I learned quite a lot actually about what is appropriate and inappropriate just by reading the Equality Act, because we do see it. We've all been to Christmas parties where someone's got a little bit too drunk, said something inappropriately or, you know, touched another colleague. We see it in films all the time that it's supposed to be quite comical. But actually, with this change in people's thought processes now, it really is different. You'll see it in the media that's coming out and the literature that's coming out, that it's just a different thought process. But anyway, getting back to the Equality Act, basically, the Equality Act explains that sexual harassment can often have the impact of affecting someone's dignity, and it's not necessarily a specific act. So that you can't go onto the Equality Act and look at a specific list of something that you're then in breach of. A lot of it is about how you've made the person feel. You know, if it's made them feel insecure or upset, or it could be anything. So it could be comments, it could be text messages, it could be something, a picture that's sent around the office. You know, it's going to be specific to that individual. So we couldn't give specific guidelines, but, you know, as a normal firm, you wouldn't expect to have media images of people scantily dressed or anything like that. So things that are going to offend people, inappropriate touching, even things like hugging. It's a difficult one, really.
Yes, and of course, employers need to understand that they can be held liable under the Equality Act if there's, you know, if there is this harassment, then by, you know, an employee of another employee, then there is going to be liability, and the, you know, the defence is very limited. You know, the employer is going to have to show that, as I understand it, that they had policies and systems in place to ensure that this sort of thing is not meant to happen, and that, you know, employees are trained as to their behaviours in the workplace and so on. And of course, it could be extremely expensive for an employer to find itself on the end of a claim for sexual harassment or sexual abuse, you know, if the harassment goes further. And employees, of course, need to understand that they do have these rights, both a common law and under the Equality Act. You know, they are not expected to put up with abusive behaviour or harassment.
Yeah, and I think this is why it's really important that we talk about it, because, you know, if this situation happens to you, it's always going to be a really difficult position. You know, if you've got somebody who's more senior than you in your employment, but it's making you uncomfortable, people need to be reassured that there should be procedures in place. There should be a complaints procedure, how this is followed up, so someone is clear about what will happen if they need to make a complaint going forward. And one of the reasons I said to you, Alan, that I wanted to discuss this, because I think it's really important that people realise it's not in one particular industry. We've had MPs that have now been charged with sexual assault in Parliament, which obviously hit the headlines this summer. It can be everywhere, in any industry, if you're male or female of any age. So it is far-reaching.
It is. And it's important that we talk about these issues. These issues often make us feel uncomfortable, but it's very important that we do. And that's the only way that we can bring about change. And people mustn't hold back if they feel that things aren't right. We have moved on in the last 30 odd years, and people should say if they're unhappy about a colleague's behaviour or an employer's behaviour. And employers need to take their responsibilities seriously. If they don't, then, you know, the consequences can be extreme from their perspective, because they could be on the end of a claim. Right. Thank you very much. And thank you, podcast listeners. Thank you once again for joining us. And if you have any questions or comments in respect of this podcast or any of our other podcasts, then please do not hesitate to contact us. We would love to hear from you. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.